business, booze, and a behind-the-scenes look at being an entrepreneur. The Mind Your Business NKY podcast offers real interviews with NKY business owners. Hosted by Link NKY CEO Lacey Starling and business reporter Kenton Hornbeck. Honestly, you won't find a more entertaining business podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen on linknky.com.
Hello and welcome to Inside Link, a podcast that gives you an inside look at how we find, report on, and tell stories here at Link NKY. My name is Megan Goth, and I'm the executive editor at Link. Today, Canton County reporter Nathan Granger is here to talk to me about a story he's been covering for months and that has caused quite a divide in the community in Covington and beyond. Nathan, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
The emergency shelter of Northern Kentucky came under scrutiny last year when a group of residents released a press release to the media accusing the shelter of not being a good neighbor. Nathan, could you give us some background into how you found out about this and the approach you took when reporting on it?
Sure. Well, I would say that any divide that existed preceded my writing about it. The neighbors had come to a city commission meeting where they sort of shared their grievances. They had grievances about harassment. They were worried that maybe the harassment by people who seemed to be residents there in the emergency shelter. There was issues with littering. They claimed that there were increased levels of criminal activity. They were concerned about registered sex offenders potentially using the shelter as a place of residence, or at least as a place to sleep. Yeah. They were concerned about mismanagement, what they believed to be mismanagement of money.
Okay.
At the shelter. They spoke out at the commission meeting. I reached out to them. I interviewed them in person later on. At least one TV station covered it as well. You know, I talked with them. Their grievances I knew were going to take a while to sort of investigate, which was why I was sort of hesitant to get something up quickly the night of. And we kind of went from there. I contacted the shelter. I contacted the judge executive of Kenton County because he had been integral with helping the shelter obtain the property that they're in now, and which was donated from St. Elizabeth. And then I did my best to try and talk to people who worked in the shelter as well as residents who stayed at the shelter. That took a while. Even some of the neighbors were a little hesitant to speak with me on the record because they were afraid of some kind of backlash, or they were afraid that the story was going to get killed, which I sort of had to explain to them that's not how that worked. But yeah, that's sort of how it started, and it snowballed quickly. I ended up interviewing quite a few homeless people, some of whom had stayed in the shelter, some of whom hadn't. I did a follow-up story that was just about homelessness generally, not necessarily focused on the shelter so much. And it's definitely, you know, we've reported a lot on housing in the region, so it was all sort of germane to a lot of different issues in the region. And the emergency shelter is somewhat unique in that it's one of the few, if not the only, low barrier shelter in the region. So if it were to go away, you know, the service infrastructure in the region for people who are experiencing homelessness would be quite a good bit deteriorated, would be deteriorating quite a bit. At the same time, I think that there are some genuine concerns about security and safety, at least from the neighbor's perspective, that need to be addressed, or needed to be addressed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one thing that I thought was interesting while you were working on this story is that there was a lot of pushback or people reaching out to us from the community before anything had been published.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk to me about how you navigated that and, you know, kind of how we approached this story differently from maybe some other, the way other local media approached it?
You know, honestly, I think the pushback wasn't so much against me personally. I think it was more against you guys. Honestly,
that's what we do.
Like, leadership was more in the path of that. I did have some kind of tense conversations, but it didn't sway me from the story. I knew that I have, you know, I used to work in nonprofit. I've been sort of interested in the issue of poverty and socioeconomic inequality. for a long time. And so I knew that just hearing one side or just listening to the grievances of the neighbors was not going to be enough to do justice to the issue. So I really kind of dug in. And it was also just a way for me to educate myself on various investigative techniques when it came to reporting. So I called a lot of people. I spent a lot of time trying to convince former workers at the shelter and others to speak on the record. A lot of people didn't want to speak on the record because, for whatever reason, mostly they were concerned with how it might tarnish their reputation and endanger future employment. And yeah, and then also just like there were just people, you know, I think there were definitely people I spoke with who were just really leery about talking with me altogether. Mm-hmm. They were afraid that I was going to spin it or write a hit piece. On the opposite end, there were people who ended up thinking, I think there are quite a few people in the community who thought that maybe we weren't critical enough with the fine product. So it was a bit of a challenge not to get sort of roped into being a mouthpiece.
Right.
And trying to do justice to the specific situation of the shelter while also keeping in mind broader mechanisms of housing and poverty.
Right. And because this was such a controversial issue, you know, we get a lot of feedback all the time, which is great. Not often do I receive as much feedback before anything has been published as I did with this one. And so, you know, we really sort of realized that this was a story where we needed to take more time with it, which I think was very smart. You know, I mean, this would be easy to sort of go in and do a story about how the shelter isn't managing itself well, or about how, you know, the shelters aren't doing anything wrong. It's the city for not giving them money or whatever. And so I think it was good that we really took more time with this story than we do with most.
And I will say there's still a lot that I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that I wasn't able to verify. There was a lot that I don't think I can verify, really, without breaking the law or without, you know, some other kind of corroborating evidence. You know, so a lot of people seem to think that the shelter was, you know, mismanaging its money or whatever, but I was not able to. I think that when it comes, like I said before, the shelter really occupies a strange position in the community, and that is the only one. And so I think that a lot of people want to protect what infrastructure is there for people who are homeless. And I think a lot of people, I think quite rightly, you know, really see the shelter as a good, as a public good, and are afraid that if too much scrutiny is applied to them, that it could lead to them shutting down or them getting sanctioned in some way. And then, you know, there's already not enough shelter room to begin with, and now there's going to be less. And so down the road, the homeless people are the ones who end up suffering as a result of a closure like that. But I think that, I sort of want to not leave. How do I express this? I think we still need to think critically about the institutions that do exist. Mm-hmm. And, I don't want the fact that there's already a kind of paltry ecosystem for homeless service, in the region. I don't want that to blanker us to any genuine problems that might be present.
Right.
And then you also have to consider, okay, well, what's the alternative? And a lot of times there aren't the alternatives. So it's not, this isn't a case where things are kind of clear, cut clear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that is uncertain. There's a lot that's, there's a lot that's uncertain. I think that's kind of the best
way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is a really good example of how Link is different from other local media organizations, because the sort of the way this looked kind of across the board in Cincinnati was that a few of the TV stations, and I'm not sure who else, but in the press release that the neighbors sent out, and so there wasn't really this hard look.
Well, at the TV stations, I think, they weren't just reporting the press release. Mm-hmm. They did do some reporting. They contacted the show. But yeah, it was a lot of the early reporting that I saw didn't strike me as very thorough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it takes us a while to put a story out, but if that happens, you know, it's because we really want to understand an issue from all sides, mm-hmm. or even not even from all sides, but just, you know, the nuance and the grayness, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think you did a great job of that.
And yeah, like I said, there's still a lot we don't know.
Mm-hmm. So where are we right now in terms of the shelter? Is there anything new going on?
Mayor Joe Meyer did say that he wanted to perform a management audit on the shelter. That is way down the road, though. That I know that, but yeah, it's still up and running. Yeah.
And just to be clear, I forgot to make this point earlier. No one you interviewed, even the people who were critical of the shelter, said that they wanted it to close, right?
Right. That's correct. And in fact, I think that a lot of people who I interviewed, some of the former workers who had criticisms of the shelter, spoke out because they wanted to make things better. Mm-hmm. They thought that, that there were genuine problems that weren't being addressed and they needed to be addressed.
Is there anything else I haven't asked that you wanted to add about the story or have you reported on it?
I just for my own part, you know, I want to say that any criticism or not even criticism, any highlighting of some kind of problem or reporting on criticisms that people have, you know, I want to make it very clear that if we do that, it's in good faith. Like I'm not out hunting for institutions to shutter and reputations to ruin. That doesn't serve the community. And just personally, I'm not looking to do that, not looking to ruin someone's livelihood. If we speak about it, it's because the community, we feel that the community will in some way benefit from knowing this. Whether or not that comes to any concrete changes afterwards is not really something that we can control. So I just want to say that for our readers, please don't be afraid to talk to us. We're not spies. We're not cops. You know, we can, you know, you can talk to us and, you know, you can call us up and, you know, have a conversation with us and, you know, we're not necessarily even going to report on it. You know, a lot of my conversations in the community are off the record. You know, it's just talking to people, getting to know them, building a relationship, and then we can have the conversation of, do you want to share this information? We can kind of go from there. And I think that a lot of times, people just don't know what to expect if a reporter calls them. So, but I mean, you know, we're here in the community. We're not in some ivory tower somewhere. You know, you can come to our office, you can meet us for coffee. Like we're normal people. So.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I think one other thing that I often notice with people who have conversations with me is that there's some confusion over what's on the record, what's off the record, what's mm-hmm. background. And there's a lot of I think there's a lot of opinions on that, but the most important thing as someone who is being interviewed, I think, is just to make sure that you understand what those words mean between you and the reporter. So, you know, I could say, I would like to talk to you and give you some information, but I don't want any of that information to be reported on and attributed to me.
Right.
Or something mm-hmm. like that. And I think that often makes people feel a little better.
Yeah. And to be fair, there are sleazy reporters who will mislead people and lie to people and record them behind their backs and stuff. But, you know, we're not those guys. So, and I hope that we can demonstrate that.
So. Thanks, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Inside Link. Thanks for joining us and have a good day.